We are still in Siman Tov, Nun Beis, and we started yesterday the halachas of Zman HaGolas. Kehilim, we spoke, two days ago, we spoke extensively about the mystery of the way to do HaGola, how it works, how it doesn't work. A bit more on that, Siv Beis, top of page Mem Vav. So that's Siman Tov Nun Beis Siv Beis. Yesh Lizom Melagel Klei Bosov Klei Cholov Biachad. Moving on a little bit from Hilchos Pesach, he's now telling us a rule with regards to kashering during the year. Can you simultaneously kasher a melchik spoon with a flashik spoon simultaneously?
So if it's nachvana,
but
that's the
isur. Oh. Very good. So Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, Yesh Lizor Melagel Klei Bosov Klei Cholov Biachad. You may not simultaneously kasha a melchik and a flashik keli. Elim kein unless echot smehem einu binyoyim, unless one of them is einu binyoyim, he's more than nois in tam, he's got more than 24 hours old. V'kol shkein klei shel issa, certainly so if it's a klei shel issa. Halkeinu agush lo lihagel shum kli binyoyim, and that's what the universal meaning is, not to do hagola of something which is which has been used over the last 24 hours. Again, you do not kasha a keli which has been used over the last 24 hours. You must ensure it is already noise and time lifkam, more than 24 hours since last use. And you may not simultaneously do flashing a milchik, because we're going to say that if it's flashing a milchik, the taste of the milky spoon and the taste of the flashing spoon, they're going to hit in the water, and the whole thing is going to become possible cholov, and this possible cholov unit, which is the water, is now going to go. The time of it is going to go into the flashik spoon, into the milchik spoon, and it will become asur. Therefore, you may not simultaneously, but if you take a milchik spoon and you kasher it, the taste is now become bottle, and now I take the next one and I put it in. It's perfectly in order. The same water can be used for flashing a milchik. Just ensure not to do it simultaneously. To not do simultaneously many kelim one at a time. If they touch each other, that means that in principle, there's nothing wrong with putting various kelim simultaneously in it. If let's say you are kashering many kelim for Pesach, that's okay. You can put numerous kelim inside it. That's okay. However, he says, "Im noigim bazebazeh." If they touch each other, then you've got a problem. Why would it be a problem if they touch each other? Why is it a problem that if you put many forks and you put them like this, as they touch each other, and then you take them out again? Why is that a problem? Very good. That's what the Mishnah Berurah explains. Siv Kotten Chof Beis. The place where they are touching, very practical point. The place where they touch, the bubbling heat of the water will not reach. Do you remember yesterday we spoke about it has to be bubbling? If the water is not bubbling, the kashering process is not effective. So similarly also over here, if the bubbling water is not reaching it, because if you're putting a lot of forks together in, a lot of kelim, then that area, if they're touching each other, no bubbling water is reaching there. Never mind bubbling water, no water at all is going to reach that place. Can't kasher it. Therefore, you've got to make sure that when you kasher, that there's space between the kelim. Does that make sense? Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah.
And is that the same with toilet as well?
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
What about these baskets?
Yeah, so the baskets, what do you think about the baskets?
But they move around within the basket. I think that's the heter.
I think that is fine, because if you take a basket, and as long as you have a certain kind of movement within, when it's in the water, there's a bit of movement, and you can assume that all the water are touching, all the areas of, all the surfaces are touching. What do you think? It works? It should work. I mean, that's what people do, so it probably does work. What do you think? It should be fine. Yeah. That's what we're going to be touching on. Similar point now. And you're right. Why do we have to touch hand? Why do we have to touch the water before?
So that when you're immersing the vessel, it's going to be the contact between your hands and the vessel will be wet.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to see here. It's very similar to that. Yeah. Top of page 92, Siv Dalet. Imagil bitzvas. Now, I forgot the word in English what a tzvas is. Igalgil akli. A tzvas is a, pardon?
Tongue,
that's it. If you do a golah with the tongue, you galgil a kli, you have to turn around the kli. Why?
Because
Absolutely. The imloy kein, if you wouldn't move it around, b'makim atzvas, the actual place where the tongue is holding the surface, loy solik dikula de maya, the water is not going to reach that place. Very, very straightforward. If that surface is covered by the tongue, then it's not being kashered. Now, would your etzer work?
Wetting
it beforehand.
How would you wet it? Wet it with what?
Wet it with what? It would be take water and then would that work?
Boiling hot water.
Yeah. But it's not gonna. But I still agree with you that it's not gonna work because it's not gonna stay. What do you think would work?
Why not?
It won't be hot anymore. It's not gonna do a gala. It's not.
I could do a gala bit by bit.
In theory, yes.
So I did it on that bit.
Yeah, that would work. I was referring to something else. I was referring to, in your scenario, yes. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot Chof Gimel, Yigalgela Kli, Roitze Loima, Sheyiftach Ez Atzvas Besoich Aroyzchin. You open up the tongue where it's bubbling, Veyechoy Zakli Pemokim Acher, and you hold the Kli in a different place, Kidei Sheyalu Aroyzchin, so the bubbling water will will reach that place too. So he said that, you can use a tongue, it's okay, as long as you move it. I don't know how you do it without burning your fingers.
You've
got to
be quick.
Very quick. Very quick. Very quick. Could it work? I mean, but the bubbling water. Yeah.
Just make sure the water's not too deep.
Water's not too deep, yeah. So the answer is yes. As long as you do that, you leave it, let go for a minute. That's okay. He says, Mishnah Berurah says, alternatively, you could use a salmanuka, which like I mentioned, this basket with these baskets with holes within it. That's fine too, because that allows all the surface, the entire surface, to be touching the boiling water. So that does work. Okay. Seif Hey teaches us the following halach: Ein magilim bechamei tverio. Do not kasher with chamei tverio. Chamei tverio is spring. Yeah, water from springs. Hot water from springs. Have you ever seen it? It's very interesting. I saw spring not such a long time ago. So it wasn't in Eretz Yisrael, but it's fascinating. It's really boiling water from so it's really boiling water,
natural spring.
Natural, yeah. Mm. Can you kasher there?
It's naturally boiling.
Naturally boiling.
Under the
geyser, not a geyser.
We could be a geyser. Would you be able to cash in a geyser? You can immerse as well. Why can't you immerse? Okay, but you're right. So let's say that it's. Yeah, and if you ensure that everything is being. That the whole surface, yeah. It says. Shulchan Aruch, Seif Hey, second line. Ein magilin bechamei tverio. You may not do hagola in chamei tverio, in hot spring water. Afilu kelim shedinam kiklishen, even kelim which need a kashering process in a klisheni vessel. Mipnei, since she'eino told us all, it is not directly heat through this fire. V'cheboiloi kach poltoi, and it's keboiloi. We have learned the rule. Of the universal rule of kaboilo kachpolto, which means what? The way it goes in, that's the way it's going to go out. Ma boiloi ali de told us, just like the taste, the blias, the chametz went into the kli through means of fire, hot water, which was heated through fire. Af poltoi ali de chou, and that's also the way it's going to have to exit. In other words, I think the best way is to explain it with the marshal of the microwave. Say a spoon became tefa because you put a flashing spoon in a porridge, in a klirishen. While as you were cooking the porridge, you put a flashing spoon in and you right, it's gone tefa now. Do you want to kasher it? Could you kasher? You can kasher it in klirishen heat. Would you be able to put now a cup of water in a microwave and heat it up until it's bubbling. Can it? Can you reach bubbling heat? Okay, yeah. You can. And now you take that water out, which has been heated in the microwave. You take that spoon and you kasher it. You immerse it in the microwave heated clearishin. Does that work? Yes or no? Clearishin, clearishin. Not the source of heat. So it's not. It's not the source of heat. Okay. So you know what? So you're right. So we're going to do the same scenario with regards to the clear. When the spoon that I made tefer was not when it was on the fire, but once I removed it from the fire, and that's when I stirred. Works? No works. Very good. So the answer is it does not work because. It is microwave is considered a bit like toldos. It's not the same than it's like toldos. It's not the same than it's not the same heat which has been created through fire. It's not through fire.
Right.
Conventional fire. Conventional, but electricity is if the heat it comes directly from the electricity, that's fire.
What about these? Is it induction? What's the one that you put
there?
Yeah,
induction.
What's that?
It's only when you put the saucepan on the hob that it heats.
Yeah.
Is that typical
for?
I don't know.
Rabbi Sai, the rule is kaboilo kechpoltoi. If the clearishin that made this keli treifa, if that was a normal conventional clearishin, which was heated up through fire or through electricity, which is considered fire, then that would be requiring to kasher it, which require again a clearishin which came from the fire. Hence, a microwave, or let's start with Chametveria, which is not conventional fire, but it's heat which is being created through what?
The heat of the earth.
So that is not considered Eish. That's told us, it's considered equivalent of Toldos Sachama. It's not directly fire, it's a different type of fire. Therefore, he cannot kasher a keli there, unless it became tefer there. But if he became tefer in a clearishin whose heat came through fire, then a clearishin from a chametveria will not be able to kasher it. Similarly, microwave is considered within the same category according to many achronim. That microwave heat is also not conventional clearishin heat. I cannot explain the physical aspect of it, but it's definitely clearly different. And therefore, it will not, it's a kebolo kechpoltoi is a rule that makes this kashering process invalid, because it's kebolo kechpoltoi. But if it was only used in a meitveria, if you use that spoon just to mix the chametveria, you use it in the chametveria, then you can kasher it in the chametveria, obviously, because kebolo kechpoltoi. Yeah. Now, full stop, new paragraph. What happens if there is, if you kasher, if you... What happens if... what will be the following... following halacha, Rabbi Yisai. If you... You're boiling milk. Why would you be boiling milk? You know, you're making a... Why would you be boiling milk? Yeah, you want... Okay, good. Yeah, you're making a very good... You're boiling milk. Right, it's bubbling, it's very hot. And you have got your spare milk, and it's bubbling now, bubbling milk. And you say, you know what, I've got this spoon, which anyone needs to kasher. I need to kasher it anyway. It's bubbling. Instead of wasting the milk, and why can't I just kasher it in the milk? To kasher in the milk.
Is he going to obviously make it milky?
Yeah, I want it milky. No, you know what, it was milky, and it will be milky, but I want it kosher lePesach. Say that it's just for Pesach kashering process. Can you kasher in milk? Or similarly, what other liquid could I be? Exactly, I'm making that lokshen. I'm making that soup, making chicken soup for Shabbos, and that spoon has been lying around for ages already. And you know what? It's bubbling. You know what? I'm kashering it. Can I kasher it in a soup? Why not? It's 60 times the thing, 60 times the volume of the keli. It's bubbling. Anything wrong with that? Okay, but it's bottle of shishim. Like the water, you can drink the water after. The kashering water, you can. You can. I wouldn't because of health and safety, but otherwise, it's completely kosher. Can you use other liquids for kashering? Can you use milk? The milk is a good one. So what do you say? That kibbutz because
we haven't found the
tongue. Says the Rama, im ein magilim b'shumashke. You do not do hagala b'shumashke with any other liquids. Rak b'maim, only with water. So here we go. This halacha that you can only do hagala with water. Now I don't know if that's what you're referring to because in Sif Kotten Chof Hey, Mishnah Berurah says b'shumashke. Why is it they can only do hagala through water? The ain tiv on lehaflid is a balua because only water has got the natural. Pardon? Qualities, properties that it absorbs and extracts and takes the taste from a keli. Hence, if you use milk, chicken soup, or whatever it may be, whiskey, even bleach for that matter, it will not kasher the keli. It must be water. Now, imagil habe keli b'yoyra. What happens if you do many kashering of many kelim? And you kasher so many kelim that the water is not see-through anymore. It's now turned gray with a bit of dark gray, and it's turned even kind of black. Really lots of kelim, but it was initially water. Can you continue kashering in that water? So Shulchan Aruch very consistently says no. En hagel oit boisen amayim. No, you may not kasher in that water because only pure water kashers. If it is all dirty and grey and used, then the water doesn't have the, what was it? The quality to extract and so it's not just the milk and it's not just the chicken soup, it's also the very dirty water which can't kasher. The Mishnah Berurah goes so far in Sif Kotten Chof Zayin to teach us in lehagil oid the shuv in koyach po in lehaflid obolua for ev shed afilu beti evet lo imali hagola zu, even beti evet, if you did hagola in a different liquid, but the oven even, the kashering process didn't work. You have to start again.
You have a pellet because it comes chafe with any right. You see it bends, it circulates throughout the pan, there's no
bowl
less than
more kashering. Is that, you say that?
Maybe the half lot is not as.
No, normally we say kibbutz kachpoltoi. So Rav Engel says a kasha like this. How come that only pure water kashas? Surely it would become teifa in different water as well. Say, for argument's sake, if that. But so it's a very good kasha.
What's the question?
It's a very good question. The question is that we're learning now there needs to be pure water to kasher. If it's not pure water, it won't kasher the keli. So if I go ask a kasher like this, is that it doesn't make sense. We learn generally kabbalah kachpolta. When it comes to become tefer, if that dirty water would happen to be tefer, let's say that mucky, dirty, grey water is actually tefer, for whatever the reason is, and I'll take a spoon now and I'll dip it in, it would become tefer. Why would it become tefer? Because it's tefer, it's got issa in it, and the bliyah is going to boiling. So why does it become tefer? If it's true that the bliyah only can be extracted through clear water, pure water. So why would that become also? The answer probably has to do with boiling. Both are boiling. It looks like extracting might. No, because it is true, because we generally only say,
properties of that type of water can't extract in the same way if it's dirty.
How's that with the color of Kaboya Kachoto? Which implies that they've got an equal.
He needs to be invested. He needs to be thought through. He needs to be thought. The answer is there, probably, because the Maaseh we see that it only kashas if it's. We only kash if it's boiling water. We don't kash if it's just Yatzeledes boy. But it will become also if it's just Yatzeledes boy. So there is definitely truth in it, but we've got to.
You see the video over there, the other mashkin.
Yeah. Okay, but so just to summarize, we learned this evening. We learned that you cannot kasher fleishig and mitya milchi kenis simultaneously, unless one of them is einu ben yoimoy. We said that the minig is never to kasher something which has been used over the last 24 hours. You always wait for 24 hours. We learned if they are touching each other, the kelim, don't kasher it. They mustn't touch each other during the kashering process, because we've got to make sure all the boiling water touches all the surface. We learned about the tongue. That if you use a tongue, okay, you can use a tongue, but just make sure that the area which the tongue is holding the keli, that area should also be kashered. And if the tongue is holding there, so you've got to move the tongue a bit. Chametvei, we say kabolo kachpolto, and chametvei doesn't work. We learned also that if you use many kelim, and we learned also that chametvei doesn't work. We learned also that only water works, and if the water has gone very dirty, then don't kasher with it. Because that's not considered pure water. Okay, very good. Okay, that's it for this evening. Good Shabbos to all.